through you, we come to the Father. Amen. All right, today sharing will be upon the two kings, King David and King Yahushua. I know that guy. Well, hello there, stranger. Go to 2 Samuel, let's look at King David. This is really a foundational teaching that every Christian should have. And what we have to find out, once we do this study, we're going to see how far off Christianity is. And it's actually very, very rarely close to what the Word of Yahweh actually says. So 2 Samuel chapter 7, page 328. You want a Bible, Isaiah? There's one right there.
They're sharing.
I know, but you can have your own.
Second Samuel.
If we look at David, or David, 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 4. If we look at David, and that's how you pronounce the name correctly. He says all the way through, I don't know if his name, anybody else's name is used in the proportion that he has. So this guy's a very special guy. And so we're going to look at the prophecy that Mashiach, or the Messiah, is going to come through him. And so David is the type of Christ. And what we're going to find out, this is usually at the end of the teaching, but I'm going to show you how wrong Christianity is. We're going to find out in here, for the believers, there is no heaven and no hell. Never has been. The meek shall not inherit heaven. Right? Absent from the body, present with the Lord has nothing to do with dying. Death is not a portal to heaven. Man lives on without his body is alive. No mortals in heaven. Christians know very little of anything about a 1,000-year reign on earth. So, according to Christianity, nothing happens on earth. They missed it all. I mean, they just missed it all. They don't know of a place where there's an adversary present. Obviously, no triune God, but there is a Yahweh. So, Christians have a triune God, but no Yahweh. Babies are not in heaven when they die. There's a total disregard for what's written here, as we're going to see. And it's just the foundation, it's just all over the place, that David was a king to rule Israel. And why we say Israel is very important, because the E-L means God, but the mighty God. And so it's not Joel, it's Joel, and that's E-L. And so all these names that have an E-L on the end, you must separate it, because that distinguishes El. So it's Israel, three syllables, not Israel. So it has nothing to do with real. It is Israel, which is the prince of El. That's what it comes down to. So we have a total disregard of what is written in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And so you wonder where Christianity... Well, it's not wondering. It's foundational that the distortion of Scripture has always been that way. So we know in Galatians... that while Paul's alive, they've already deviated. And he says, who has bewitched you? You've already come up with a new doctrine. What's it been, 24 hours? Since I wrote this thing? And you're already off of the track? So it should never be a shock that there's error. It should be a shock that nobody knows what the errors are. Because we've got 2,000 years to 6,000 years of adversarial
deviation.
Yeah, deviation from Scripture. And we're going to see this stuff is beautiful. But actually, nobody even knows about it. In the Christian world, it doesn't even exist to their loss. So here's the promise with Yahweh. This is great. Verse 4 and 5. But so it was in the night that the word of Yahweh came unto Nathan, saying, go and say unto my servant, unto David, or David. So this is Yahweh approaching, because David wanted to build a house for Yahweh. Now we go to verse 12. And it shall be, when thy day shall be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep, and thou shalt go to heaven, with thy fathers, then will I raise up thy seed after thee, which proceedeth from thy own body, That's the Messiah. And so is Christ a man? Absolutely a man. Is it an incarnation? No. Absolutely not. I just start thinking about this, and this is a good example of how perverted it is. And so people use pre-incarnate, and that's before Christ or God became incarnate. And then he became incarnate. So Yahweh went into the womb of Mary, and that's called incarnate. And then he became excarnate. When would that happen?
At birth.
Now, excarnate means no flesh.
Oh.
When he died. So you have, incarnate means flesh. So incarnate, pre-incarnate, before he became flesh. Incarnate means became flesh. Then we know he died, right? And they're going to say he's in heaven or hell, flying around doing stuff, right? So that had to be excarnate.
And then reincarnate.
And then when he came back to his body, what was that called?
Reincarnate.
Reincarnation. Well, no, we can't say that. This is what you say. This is the whole teaching. You're just not going to use those words. Because man in a spirit body goes in different places and the body has no place, and that's called reincarnation. Very simple. An excarnate. But no, Christ is a man. He was born of the Virgin. He was also son of Yahweh, by the seed of Yahweh, with no father. 13. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish his kingly throne unto time's age abiding. So who's going to build a house? The seed of David. And so there's going to be two. We know Solomon did, and that temple got destroyed. And we know another Messiah is going to rebuild the temple. It wasn't Herod. It's going to be Yahushua. Establish his kingly throne unto time's age abiding. I will become his father, when he shall become my son. If he commit iniquity, then will I correct him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the son of men. But my loving kindness shall not depart from him, as I caused it to depart from Saul, whom I caused to depart from before thee. So shall thy house and thy kingdom be made steadfast unto time's age abiding before thee. Thy throne shall be established unto time's age abiding. Wow, what a compliment to David. Yeah. That the Messiah, I'm so pleased with you, that the Messiah is going to come. And actually, I'm going to call him David in the prophecies, which we're going to see. Let's see here. So he's going to build a house. Go to 1 Chronicles 29, which is page 436. Just beautiful stuff. Now, where is this kingdom? On earth. Now, why do we have Christ in heaven? And everybody's in heaven with his kingdom. And we think about another thing, too, is, you know, another people say is God or Yahweh is sovereign, which means he controls everything. Well, then the prayer makes no sense. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, no, if he was sovereign, his work, his will is done on earth as it is in heaven. No, yeah, absolutely not sovereign whatsoever. In heaven, he is ruling. In earth, he is not. Otherwise, we wouldn't have this kind of chaos and rebellion against him. So, very simple. And that was the prayer, thy will be done on in heaven, on earth, as it is in heaven. So heaven is fine. Earth is a big problem. 1 Chronicles 29:23. I say 436. So Solomon took his seat upon the throne of Yahweh as king. Isn't that cool? The throne of who?
Yahweh
as king, instead of David his father, and prospered, and all Israel hearkened unto him. So Yahushua is going to also sit on the throne of Yahweh, which is also called the throne of David. Go to Luke 1:31, page 56. We're going to go into a lot of scriptures. I think I can get them all done in time. And lo, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Yahushua. The same, and here's one thing people can realize. The Greek text has, you know, it is not in its fullness of the word of Yahweh. And how we can say that is in the Greek text, there's no Elijah, there's an Elijah. There's no Jeremiah, it's Jeremias. And you go all the way, and that's all in the Old King James. You can see it because they kept it the way the Greek pronunciation is. But everybody knows it's not Elias, it's Elijah. And so the same way here when it says Jesus, which is really Iesus, it's actually Yahushua. Because he had the same name as Joshua, and Joshua was also called Jesus. You know, Iesus, and that's in Acts and in Hebrews. So we know his name is a Hebrew name, not a Greek name. So Iesus is a Greek name. The same shall be great, and Son of the Most High shall be called, and the Yahweh Elohim will give unto him the throne of who? David, his father. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob. Where is he going to reign over the house of Jacob? Not in heaven, but on earth. Unto the ages and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Go to Isaiah chapter 9, page 656. So we're going to look at all the references to the throne of David, which is the throne of Yahushua. So, David and Solomon serve a great purpose. And so David was the warrior. Solomon means what?
Peace.
He had 40 years of peace. David had 40 years of war. And so the same two characters of Yahushua. He's a warrior and also peace.
A lion and a lamb.
Yes, a lion and a lamb. You're right. So in verse 6, chapter 9, verse 6, for a child has been born to us, a son has been given to us, and the dominion is upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty El, Father of Futurity, Prince of Prosperity, of the increase of dominion and of prosperity. There shall be no end upon what?
The throne of David,
and upon his kingdom, by establishing it and by sustaining it with justice and with righteousness from henceforth, even unto time, age, or body. The jealousy of Yahweh of hosts will perform this upon David's throne. And now we go into King Yahushua. So we see all this laid out to David and the prophecy of fulfilling Yahweh's purpose of ruling the earth through his son Yahushua, through the line of David, which is also through the line of Abraham. And so remember, means what?
Father.
So Abraham is the father of a multitude. Go to Psalms 2, verse 1, and we're going to see that's page 529. And Wendy, why don't you read that psalm?
I'd love to.
1 through 12.
How happy the man who hath not walked in the counsel of the lawless, and in the way of sinners hath not stood, in the seat of scoffers hath not sat, but in the law of Yahweh is his delight.
No, I'm sorry, Psalm 2. Oh. Psalm 2, verses 1 through 12. I mean, it's a whole psalm.
Wherefore have nations assembled in tumult? Or should peoples mutter an empty thing? The kings of earth shall take their station, and grave men have met by appointment together against Yahweh and against his anointed one, saying, let us break asunder their bonds and cast from us their cords. He that sitteth in the heavens will laugh. My Lord will mock at them. Then will he speak unto them in his anger, and in his wrath confound them. Yet I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain.
So there we go right here. So is Zion, it's a holy mountain, it's a place that exists today.
Zion.
And But keep reading. Verse 7.
Let me tell of a decree. Yahweh hath said unto me, my son thou art, I today have begotten thee. Ask of me, and let me give nations as thine inheritance, And as thy possession, the ends of the earth, thou shalt shepherd them with a scepter of iron.
Now, wait a minute here. Why would I be shepherding people in heaven with a shepherd of iron and breaking
scepter
the heads?
Because
we're going to find out it has nothing to do with heaven. There's going to be a kingdom, and it's Christ as king, 1,000-year millennium. That's redundancy. 1,000 years means millennium. It's going to be headquarters where? In Zion, on the mountain. There's going to be believers there, the resurrected, which would be us. There's going to, I mean, we're going to be there. The resurrection of justice happened. They're going to be there. So that's Abraham and Noah and all of them. But there's going to be mortal men there. The people who did not die in the book of Revelation. And so on this 1,000 years reign, there's going to be discipline. There's going to be punishment. There's going to be, and people don't even talk about this world. You know, to the Christians today, this world doesn't exist. So there's mortals mixed in with the immortals. And that's where the cracking of the heads come down, and we're going to see a lot of stuff dealing with the mortals. And how do you, there's going to be death there. People are going to live and die. As we see in the prophecy, if you're a child and live to be 100 years, you're going to be cursed. So people are going to live like a tree. They can be 200 or 300 years old. That's how it's going to be. This has nothing to do with heaven. This is planet Earth, and Yahushua is sitting on his throne, cracking heads, and we're going to see there's festivals, there are feast days, they come back. And to Christendom, this doesn't even exist. And so they've missed the whole picture. So now we go to verse 9, read 9 through 12.
Thou shalt shepherd them with a scepter of iron, as a potter's vessel shalt thou dash them in pieces. Now, therefore, ye kings, show your prudence. Be admonished, ye judges of earth. Serve Yahweh with reverence and exult with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish by the way, for soon might be kindled his anger. How happy are all who seek refuge in him.
Great. Now we go to Psalms 110. That keeps establishing this kingship of David. And why is the what's the purpose of 1,000 years? You know, it's so simple. It really is. People have babies who die or aborted, they end up in heaven. You know, we saw that on Left Behind. You have children on the plane. When Christ comes back, their clothes are empty. That's not scriptural at all. There's no such thing. Very simple. They never got to choose. You know, so all of life is based upon choice. Do you want to go, do you want to live with Christ? Do you want to bow to Christ? Do you want to bow to Yahweh and serve Him? Or do you want to rebel? And so everybody gets to choose. So the 1,000-year reign is still a period of time where people are doing what? Choosing. Now the immortals have already done what?
They chose.
They've already chosen. And they're immortal. But these ruffians.
Ruffians.
Now we're going to be down there probably, you know, running things and disciplining people and getting them to go to church and going to different places and get up to that festival, you won't get any rain. All right, so we're going to have a good job down there. But here's 110.
Here.
Yeah, on earth, yeah.
So what you're saying is that the babies that premature death will have a chance to pop.
Yeah, and so in my best estimation, all the people who did not have a chance to choose, they died too early. You know, a perfect place for them to be is to be resurrected in this particular deal. They grow up, they get to choose. You never got to choose, now you get to choose. They live their life. What a perfect place to put. Now, you're in a place where there's no what?
Adversary.
How beautiful is that? You have no adversary for 1,000 years. Get up there and get to meet the, and that's why the sacrifices, people are still sacrificing to Yahweh, because Yahushua was on the earth in Zion running the temple, which we're going to see, but Yahweh is not on the earth. And where the festival is going to, it's not to appease, not for our sake, because we've already been cleansed, but it's for these people who are going to give sacrifices to Yahweh for their sins and everything else. We can see it, because it's just another chapter to be going on. And for these people, and so it doesn't say that, but I thought this is a perfect place for those people to go. Now, Psalms 110, the declaration of Yahweh to my Lord, sit then at my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. The strength of the scepter of strength will Yahweh extend out of where? Zion. And it's not Zion, it's actually pronounced Z-O-N, like zebra. Tread thou down in the midst of thy foes. Thy people will freely offer themselves in the day of thy army. In the splendor of holiness out of the womb of the dawn, to thee shall spring forth the dew of thy youth. Yahweh has sworn and will not repent. Thou shalt be a priest under time's age abiding after the manner of Melchizedek. So we see that, and here's the correlation right with this, as we go to Revelation chapter 19. Page 265, 11 through 16, and here is King Yahushua coming to the earth. He's not king now. If he was king, you know, we wouldn't have Hillary Clinton around, and we wouldn't have Obama around. They'd be put to death. That's wickedness there would be if he was king. Yeah. So we're going to look at, and so here's the middle of the book. We saw the beginning of the book. Here's the middle of the book. Here's the end of the book. Now, how could people miss this? 11 through 16. And I saw heaven set open, and lo, a white horse, and he that was sitting thereon called Faithful and True, and in righteousness does he judge and make war. And his eyes are a flame of fire, and upon his head are many diadems, having a name written which no one knoweth but himself, and arrayed with a mantle, sprinkled with blood, and his name shall be called the Word of Yahweh. And the armies which were in heaven were following him upon white horses, clothed with fine linen, white, pure, and out of his mouth is going forth a sharp sword, that wherewith he may smite the nations, and he shall shepherd them, with a scepter of iron, and he shall tread, you know, which we know that's Psalms 2. And he shall tread the winepress of the wrath to the anger of Yahweh of hosts, and hath upon his mantle, upon his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So this is the whole story, folks. He's coming back, and we're going to see later on in chapter 20, he's back on earth. It's like, I'm back. And we're going to put this place in order the way it was supposed to be in the first place. But we still have people on probation. They get to choose, are you rehabilitated or are you not rehabilitated? Are you going to be rehabilitated or are you going to rebel? And how do we know that some of them rebel? Because in chapter 20 they do. As the sand of the sea come against somebody who is perfect. We won't go there though. Let's go to Jeremiah 23, page 739. Going back to David, we're going to learn about, and the Jews really know this, it's called Tzimak, the bud. This is the prophecy of the Tzimak.
Okay.
739. Jeremiah 23, verse 5. And 6. Let's see here. Let's see here. 23:5-6. There I am. Lo, days are coming, declareth Yahweh, when I will raise up to who? David, a righteous Tzimak, or bud. And he shall reign as what? King. So you see, everything, David's kingship, Yahushua's kingship, and prosper, and shall execute justice, and righteousness in the Lamb, and in his days shall Judah be saved, and Israel abide securely, and this in his name whereby he shall be called Yahweh our righteousness. Amen. He is, and right now he's called Yahweh our salvation. Yahushua is Yahweh our, or Yah is our salvation. Now he's going to be called Yahweh is our righteousness. Jeremiah 33, Semach.
Actually, one of righteousness is in Hebrew.
Yeah.
Actually, Semach is bud.
No, that's salvation. Pardon me?
Semach is bud.
Yeah, or another thing will say branch. It's a sprout. But we know in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's all the Semach is the man, the Semach is the king, the Semach is the servant, and the Semach is the bud, or the Semach of Yahweh. So those are the four Gospels. 33:14-16. Lo, days are coming, declares Yahweh, when I establish my good word which I have spoken as to the house of Israel and concerning the house of Judah. In those days and at that time will I cause to bud unto David a bud or a semach of righteousness. See, he's got a note there. And he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. And in those days Judah shall be saved, and Jerusalem abide secure. So you see this? This is Jerusalem, the physical Jerusalem, you know. Judah, the physical land. You know, land's all plotted out, everything else, but Christendom has everything from false prophets. You know, Jesse Duplantis is one of them. They have a whole society and kingdom of houses and everything else all in heaven, and people are living there right now, which is demonic, which is doctrines of demons, which is also, you shall be accursed because you added to the word. We got that. 16. Okay. Now we go to Hosea. That's 8:62. And Ma, you can read that. Or did you just quit? Okay, I guess you won't read that. Come on, follow. That's why I got the page. Don't put the blanket on. It's not cold. Chapter 3, verses 4 through 5. You want to read it, Elijah?
Okay. For many days shall the son of Israel tarry without king and without ruler and without sacrifice and without pillar and without ephod or household gods. Afterwards shall the sons of Israel return and seek Yahweh their Elohim and David their king, and shall turn with throbbing hearts unto Yahweh and unto his goodness in the after part of the days.
Oh, let me ask you something. When Hosea wrote this, was David dead? Yeah.
Yeah.
So what does it say right here in verse 5? Afterwards shall the sons of Israel, remember Israel, three syllables, return and seek Yahweh their Elohim and who?
David
their king. Well, who's, that can't be the David because he's still dead. All right? So now, there's a figure of speech that one, I forget the three different figures of speech. One is, he is like David. And, yeah, there's a simile, metaphor.
Hypokinesis.
And what's that called?
Hypokinesis.
Hypokinesis. One is, he is like David. Another one says, he is David. And then I think the third one just says David. And so when we call the adversary the serpent, all right, then that is a figure of speech. So Yahushua is being called David in these particular places. I mean, it's all the way through here. Go to Jeremiah 30, page 748. Verse 7 through 9.
Say Jeremiah what?
30, chapter 30, verses 7 through 9, page 748. Alas! And so when you guys read this, look at the exclamation marks.
emphasis.
And so you're looking at emphasis, and you slow down, and you start seeing patterns. And so instead of just bursting out, kind of slow down and read this stuff with emphasis. Okay, Melania, can you do that for me?
Yeah.
7 through 9.
Alas, for great is that day, so that none is like it.
Now let me stop here for a minute. For the kids' sake, double brackets around a word means what? Elijah, you see how double brackets around great? That's heavily emphasized. Okay. And so heavily emphasized, I can heavily emphasize a word in two ways. One, I can raise my voice and say, alas, for great is the day. Or I can say, alas, for, and then I pause. Great is the day. So you can emphasize it two ways, but that's how Yahweh wrote it. Okay, start over, Melania. And so when you look at these little dashes, double brackets means heavily emphasized. Single brackets is lightly emphasized. Not as much emphasis. So start with 7 again.
Alas, for great is that day, so that none is like it. Yea, a time of...
anguish.
Anguish is... I mean, it is for Jacob. But...
come on.
Out of it shall be...
He'll be saved.
He'll be saved. And it shall come to pass in that day, declares Yahweh of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and thy bonds will I tear off, and foreigners shall use him as a slave no more. But they shall serve Yahweh their God, Elohim, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them.
There we go. Stop there. There's David, thy king again. So it's Yahweh and David. It's always been that. The triune God is just blasphemy. Every epistle, greetings from two entities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And, I mean, it's just so simple. It's all the way through here. Now, we go to King Yahushua. So now we get into Ezekiel. And this is King Yahushua. Ezekiel, page 825, Ezekiel 34. So Jeremiah, Ezekiel. Or Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. Now we start getting a picture. And what's so nice about it is there's a lot of things that are not quite clear. So we have to say, how is that going to work? I don't quite see that. Yeah, but we see the connection. So Bollinger says when it says David or the prince, it has to be literally David or it's the Messiah. You know, so it could literally be the David, but I don't think there's any way it could be the David because then where's the Messiah? He's not even present. We're going to see that. At 34 verses 1 through 2. And the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy, and thou shalt say unto them, even to the shepherds, Thus saith my Lord Yahweh, Alas, for the shepherds of Israel who have been tending themselves, is it not the flock that the shepherds should tend? Boy, is that a rebuke to our pastors today. The word pastor is actually the word shepherd. And so many times they won't make a stand politically because of probably financial contributions could be affected. And so that is, woe to you guys. Now, but this is our chapter we're talking about. We're talking about the shepherds. They're in trouble. Now we go to verse 20 to 24. Therefore, thus saith my Lord Yahweh unto them, Here am I myself. Therefore will I judge between fat sheep and lean sheep, because with the side and with the shoulder do you thrust, and with your horns you do push all the sick, until you have scattered them abroad. Therefore will I bring salvation to my flock, and they shall be no longer a prey, but I will judge between one sheep and another, and I will raise up over them one shepherd, and he shall tend them, even my what?
Servant David.
Servant David. So here we go right back to the shepherd. He will tend them, and he will become to them a shepherd, and I, Yahweh, will become to them Elohim. My servant David, being a prince in their midst, I, Yahweh, have spoken. Yeah, let's see. So we stop, yeah, 24. Now we go to chapter 37, verse 21. You want to read that, Elijah? So that would be 21 to 28. And if you get tired, we'll stop and let somebody else read.
Okay. Therefore speak thou unto them, thus saith my Lord Yahweh, lo, I myself am going to take the sons of Israel from among the nations whither they have gone, and I will gather them from each every side, and will bring them in upon their own soil, and will make of them one nation in the land among the mountains of Israel.
Where's this happening?
The mountains of
planet Earth.
Clouds.
Yeah, planet Earth. Okay, keep going. And one king.
And one king shall they all have for king, and they shall remain no longer two nations, nor shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their manufactured Elohims, or with their detestable things, or with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places, wherein they have sinned, and I will cleanse them, and they shall become my people, and I will become their Elohim. My servant David shall be king over them, and one shepherd shall they all have. In my regulations shall they walk, in my statutes shall they observe and do them. They shall dwell upon the land which I gave to my servant, to Jacob, wherein your fathers dwelt. Yea, they shall dwell thereupon, they and their children and their children's children, into time's age abiding. And David, my servant, shall be prince unto them, unto time's age abiding, and I will solemnize to them a covenant of prosperity, a covenant age abiding shall be with them, and I will place them and multiply them, and set my sanctuary in the midst of them unto time's age abiding, and my habitation shall be over them, and I will become their Elohim, and they shall become my people. So shall the nations know that I, Yahweh, am hallowing Israel, when my sanctuary is in the midst of them into time's age abiding.
Isn't that great? But there's my servant David still running things. Now we go to 37. We go into what they call the Davidic Prince. Go to Zechariah 6. That's page 905. Let's see the prophecy about the Messiah rebuilding the temple. And this is what Ezekiel is all about. Ezekiel 40 to 48 is all about the new Jerusalem building the temple. And Zechariah chapter 6. And that's kind of symbolic also when they said, Lord, look at this temple. And he says, you know,
in three days.
And I will rebuild it. And so that's symbolic, too, of him rebuilding the temple. Zechariah 6, verses 12 through 13. Then shalt thou speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh Yahweh of hosts, saying, lo, a man, Bud is his name, or Shemar is his name, and out of his own place shall he bud forth, and shall do what?
Build the temple of Yahweh.
Build the temple of Yahweh. And he shall build the temple of Yahweh, and he shall bear the honor, and he shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall become a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between the two of them. There it is. And so we go now to Ezekiel 4, back to Ezekiel chapter 44.
Page 338.
Verses 1 through 3. You think you can do that, Isaiah?
What?
1 through 3?
Yeah.
Okay, give him the Bible.
Here.
Let him, yeah. Let him put him on his lap so you're not reading sideways. 44, 1 through 3.
Got it,
honey. Okay. Then he brought me back toward the
outer
gate of
the sanctuary.
Sanctuary, which looked toward the
east,
but it was shut. Then said Yah unto me, this gate shut shall remain, and it shall not be opened, and no man shall enter thereby, because Yahweh God Elohim of Israel doth enter thereby. Therefore shall it remain shut. The prince as prince he shall sit therein to eat food before Yahweh. But why of the porch of the gates shall he go in? And by way therefore shall he come out.
There you go. So you see two things here. Yahweh's coming in to this temple. He comes in from the east, and we find out the temple of Yahweh, if you look at that, if you open up the temple where the priests go, is facing east. And why that's important, Aaron said, Bollinger pointed that out, because when people bow, they're not bowing toward the sun.
Their back's toward the sun.
Their back is toward the sun. So most people, when they're going to bow or worship God, they're going to do it at the rising of the sun. And they're going to be facing the sun. So this way, they go just the opposite. And they're facing the east. But Yahweh is going to come in. There's going to be a gate that he's the only one that comes in through. But we learn about the prince. And now he's going to be called the prince. And the prince can stay there. And the prince is going to have certain land.
So he's going to be called the prince.
Yahushua, or David. And so we know the king is called David, and he was called the prince, and now we're going to see the prince, the prince, the prince, all the way through these chapters of Ezekiel. 45 verse 17. But on the prince's shelf shall rest the ascending sacrifices and the meal offering and the drink offering on the festivals and on the new moon and on the Sabbath. Well, this is right back to the Mosaic Law. And the prince is going to be involved in that. So we're looking at Sabbaths, new moons, festivals, three festivals, Festival of Booths. We're going right back to it because I believe the mortals, this is very important for the mortals to make this part of their life, and they have no options. Now we go to 46 verse 4, and we're going to keep seeing the prince, the prince, the prince with the emphasis. 46, and the ascending sacrifice which the prince shall bring near unto Yahweh shall be on the Sabbath day, 6 he lambs, without defect, and a ram without defect. So the prince is bringing these sacrifices unto Yahweh, which Yahweh comes in through the east gate. But that confuses people because they're like, well, why? Christ was the perfect sacrifice, so why is all this sacrificing? And you're killing animals, so the good news is he?
It's meat.
Yeah, honey.
You don't know how they eat meat.
Yeah, for 1,000 years, we're going to have that. Mm. I think we're always going to be eating, and that's interesting.
Meat.
Yeah, but I mean, even though the tree of life, men were designed to eat, even in Revelation 22, it's talking about eating the leaves from the trees. For healing.
Yeah, I just said eat meat.
Well, I know, but people have us in heaven. People have us in heaven not eating anything.
Not working or doing anything.
Yeah, yeah. Really, thing. Just it becomes, and this is, what is this? This is a surreal world that they have created. So they have made this world with their hands. the triune God, mm-hmm. people being in heaven, the
going
whole
hell.
Yeah, going to hell. It's just a world that's been created by the hands of men. No different than Baal. No different right. than Aaron making a god.
Pharaoh.
No different than a Jeroboam making two golden calves. Same thing. Why should we be surprised? Because the masses do it, doesn't condone it.
Right.
Yeah. You know, all of Israel went after Baal. I mean, where was that? That was 40. Let's go to 47. Well, let's... Yeah, I guess we go to 47 verse 1. And they're going in about the prince. We're kind of running out of time. But this is a really cool place. And 47 verse 1 is the temple. And this is how we know that it faces the east. Then he brought me back into the entrance of the house, and lo, water's coming forth from under the threshold of the house eastward, because the front of the house was to the what?
East.
So that's why we know the temple is facing east. And the waters were coming down from beneath, from the right side of the house, on the south of the altar. So I just tell you exactly where it's coming. And then you see this whole thing about water, which is actually living water, again, because wherever they go, it brings forth life. It's going to go into the Dead Sea and provide life.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because the Dead Sea is dead now. And it's going to be a raging torrent. It starts off as a trickle, and as they get down to it, now we go to Revelation 22:1, same river. And this is why many people didn't like the book of Revelation, because it was too Hebrew. And that's right, it is Hebrew. The new heaven and earth is going to be Hebrew. And in Jerusalem, 22:1.
But then it's
okay, Esther, you want to read this? 22:1.
Right here, honey. We're making this.
Speak boldly.
And he pointed out to me a river of water of life, bright as crystal. Issuing forth out of the throne of God and of the Lamb.
Very good. Stop right there.
Very good.
There's a coordination. It goes right back to the river. Got right back on time. Wonderful place. Christendom doesn't even exist.
Right.
And why people don't read the Old Testament, if they do, it doesn't matter. They read the Revelation, it doesn't matter. It's a sad, sad state, but our job is to teach it anyway, to preach it anyway. And I think the best way you can get people's attention many times is to say, yeah, the meek shall inherit heaven. And every Christian will go, no, the meek shall inherit the earth. Oh. And I love when John Shane and I did New Heaven, New Earth, and you're like, well, yeah. And they start rearranging to say, what do you believe? I mean, it's ridiculous in what you believe. I just talked to a pastor and was trying to go with hell, what Hebrew word is? Yeah, you say when you say hell, you know. So let's go ahead and stop.
They said above the cross, they know a sign about Jesus Christ's cross says, "Here's Jesus, the King of the Greeks."
Yeah, that's right.
He's King of the Greeks, right?
Yeah.
No, he's the King of the Jews.
Yeah, and now David was so exalted that here is the next David that you actually called him that. I thought, wow. What flattery to David. So, when James and John say, can we sit on your left and right hand side? You know, I'm probably going to be
David.
It's probably going to be David, and Moses. And then you guys be right there, too. You did great things. But those guys are really special.
They made your son after you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they went 40 years strong. Okay, we'll go ahead and end. And so I have a closing word of prayer. Thanks you guys for viewing. And then we'll hear from our Father for you according to 1 Corinthians 14. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words, and we thank you that we can just look at your word and disregard the traditions of men. Thank you for the great picture that's just laid out before us. It's so simple. You know, I don't like people complicated things. You die, you go to sleep. And then when you're awakened, you're going to be immortal. We'll have a body just like as Christ wore his body. It's such a simple situation. So we thank you for great freedom in your work, and your word sets us free, and doctrines of men only bind us. Amen. And so we thank you for these words according to 1 Corinthians 14. As you put on my words and speak my words and meditate upon my words, do not set them off to the left or to the right hand, but put them forefront into your vision, that you can meditate and memorize those and make them a part of your life. Just not listening to them, but actually acting upon them and humming them and singing them and putting them into action, so you can see the deliverance that light brings to this dark generation.